discretion is advised.
Live from Glasgow, Scotland, it's time for the revolution in professional wrestling radio as Robert and Kenny prepare to take you inside the ropes.
Hello everyone and welcome to the second episode of Inside the Ropes this week. It's another late week episode. I'm refraining from saying it's a Thursday episode because it's Friday. But a second episode nonetheless. I am Robert Duffin and I am here once again with Kenny McIntosh. Some people have been asking where Kenny is. There were rumours that he was found slumped in a hotel room, off his tits on somas. There was shite smeared up the wall. There was a dead prostitute. Kenny, can you confirm or deny any of these rumours from DaveMeltzoid.net?
Well, two out of three were true, but, you know, you can't win them all. I appreciate all the people messaging me and stuff. Well, it's funny because actually what happened was, just to take you back, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Kenny McIntosh, as you're probably aware. Last week I was in Newcastle working for a company that drive me mental, and I was at what?
Nothing.
Truth hurts. So I was down in Newcastle doing some work, and I don't want to go into too much detail, but basically I felt very unwell. I phoned my doctor. They said I had to go to A&E or the emergency room if you're in the States, and I got there and I started. What? They don't have A&E over there.
I know, it just makes me laugh. I had to phone my GP. That's a doctor. That's a doctor, silly Americans.
There you go, you're helping me out. And then I got to the hospital, and you know when you sometimes you just feel that you need to be sick? Like if you're watching a Sunny match or something. Yes. And like you just need to be sick. And I got to the hospital, had to be sick, and I ended up puking up blood, which was not good. And it happened again, and I ended up losing about a pint of blood, and it turned out I had a stomach ulcer, which is not pleasant, and I had to stay in hospital for 4 days, and I'm out now. I'm not 100% yet. My blood level is pretty low because of losing all the blood, obviously, but luckily,
but
while
we
I was
can
in
get
the
you new blood.
We can get me new blood, but also, luckily, I had something to keep me distracted on my hospital bed.
Wait. Were you contacted by the Make-A-Wish Foundation while you were there?
They did offer me Roman Reigns, and I told them that I would rather meet Kamala.
Oh, but you were in Newcastle. Happen. You could have got Anton Deck.
That's true. I could have. What a localised reference.
For our American friends, Anton Deck. I don't even think there's an equivalent in America, is there? Is there an American Anton Deck? Who would be like a sort of
Penn and Teller?
I was going to say platonic male entertainment duo. They're like Robert and Kenny.
There you go. There's your dinner. But no, luckily I had something to keep me occupied in the hospital, which was helping to coordinate an announcement of a very exciting tour. But before we get to that, Robert, when I was in hospital, I was starved for entertainment. At certain points, apart from the alcoholic who kept trying to steal my things and talk to himself. But I decided to stick on Inside the Ropes.
And, an iffy choice at the best of times.
And you decided to mock me. You decided to mock me.
I was going to say something quite nice, actually, because obviously I was very worried. I was very, very concerned. Kenny messaged me. Literally 1 minute before I was in the cinema, and 1 minute before the film starts, Kenny messages me And he's like, hey, are you around? And I was just like, oh, this film's about to start. This is probably not something that needs to... I could probably wait till after the film to engage in a chat, because other people in the cinema might see my little phone light come on and they'll be like, oh, what a nuisance. And I thought, no, I'll reply. And then he said, I'm coughing up blood. And I was just like, oh, Jesus Christ. And then, I don't know if I'm going to be okay. Bye, enjoy your movie. And I was like, oh, fuck. So, and I mean, I did enjoy the film. It was a very entertaining and distracting film. Luckily, it wasn't, you know, all doom and gloom. Otherwise, it would have, you know, maybe I would just have sat thinking all horrible things. But I did, I was like, oh my God, what are we going to do? Like, you know, Inside the Ropes has, the Grim Reaper has visited Inside the Ropes hosts before. I was very worried. I kind of thought, oh my gosh, like, well, we have to do a 10-bell salute at the start of a podcast. What are we going to do here? This could be the worst thing ever. I mean, if it's not serious, but he has like a long-term illness, am I going to have to run a marathon? Because I don't know if I'd be up for that. Am I going to have to run a marathon to raise money? All these thoughts. But luckily you are fine. And obviously that podcast that you're about to grill me for was recorded before I knew you were doing the blood vomiting. So I felt genuinely terrible. And you can confirm that I did send you a message saying, when you told me you were going to listen to it, that it was recorded before you told me that, and I didn't know. Obviously, if I'd known, I probably would have still made fun of you, but I would have been slightly less mean, and I would have maybe said, like, we hope you're okay thing. But I just wanted to get that in there. And obviously, I'm very glad that you are better, and hopefully we'll be able to find you some blood if anyone would like to give Kenny their blood. Or indeed maybe just a well wish, then do get on our Facebook page, facebook.com/theinsidenetwork, or you can tweet us your blood at @inside_theropes, @Bertie_ITR, @KennyMC1985.
Now, I do want to say the last thing before we move on, I just want to say, like, genuinely serious. So I've never had to be in hospital in my life before, like overnight or anything. It's just never something that's had to happen to me. And happening away from home is pretty horrendous as well. But I've got to say that, like, for anyone who's in the UK, like, we all take it for granted, but the NHS are phenomenal. The National Health Service we have in the UK. They took such great care of me the whole time I was there. They feed you, like, 3-course meals 3 times a day. Like, they are there for you all the time, you know. And it's funny, I was talking to Sandra last night, and she had said, I was describing what had happened, and or it was a couple of days ago, and I was describing what had happened, and she'd said that that would have, like, bankrupted her in America if she had to go through that. So... sometimes we take it for granted, but let's just make sure those stupid Tories don't get their way, because the NHS is great.
Yes, so I mean, we welcome listeners of all persuasions to Inside the Ropes, and we don't really endorse anyone politically, but yes.
Yes, we do.
Fuck the Tories. And if you're one of our American listeners that don't know what an A&E is, please don't vote for Donald Trump, because he's scary and weird, and he looks like a big... hot dog. And I just can't imagine it. I mean Hillary in the pantsuits isn't much better, but really, I mean, if you must vote someone from reality TV to be your president, can't it be RuPaul or the lady from, what's the lady, Tyra Banks? Someone like that. That's who you want to vote for.
Sassy black people.
Yes, basically, yes.
Okay, cool. Moving on from sassy black people to Jews, we're bringing Paul Heyman to the United Kingdom.
Paul Heyman, an American man who most of you have seen on your television. He created ECW. He created a counterculture revolution. He revolutionized pro wrestling to such an extent that the mainstream, everything that you loved about WWF in the late 90s, well, let's just be honest, it was all ripped off from his ideas. But that's just what happens. I'm sure he doesn't bear a grudge. Or does he? You can find out when Inside the Ropes bring Paul Heyman to the UK in July. He is a revolutionary. He is the absolute best person you could ever have for a Q&A. Before we did our very first Q&A, which was only in Glasgow, and it was with Diamond Dallas Page, me and Kenny had a conversation where, well, Kenny usually asks you things like, you know, what if blah, 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 and usually involves cheese.
Or shagging.
And who would we have? Who would, like, be the all-time great guest that you would want? And I think, I mean, I know I definitely, I think you might have said it too, but I didn't want to say you did, just in case you didn't. But he was definitely my number one. I said Paul Heyman would be the number one guy, because he can talk, He's a great orator. He'd be entertaining. He's got so many stories. You don't have to worry about anything. Like, some of the guests we've had, you know, you're a little bit worried. Like, are they going to be engaging? You don't know. Paul Heyman is hands down one of the most engaging wrestling personalities of all time. And he's coming over to the UK with us, and it is an honour and a privilege and a pleasure. And sometimes when I think about it, I let out a little bit of wee because I'm so excited about it. And I know you are all excited as well, which is why so many of you have registered your interests inside the ropes.co.uk. But some people are still tweeting, asking about ticket prices and venues and exact dates. And like, I think that the real thing we have to tell you is that you should probably, if you've already tweeted Kenny about those things, tweet him about them again at least 3 more times, because he can't get enough of these tweets, because he knows all the answers. He's just not telling it, people. I'm joking. It's not true. We know.
Here's the thing, though. If you can never tell somebody, right? So say, for example, I'm going to make something up here. Say that Paul Heyman was going to be playing in, you know, Madison Square Garden. Say we were doing a Paul Heyman show in New York. And say that somebody said, you said, venue to be confirmed. And then one person says, can you not tell us what it's going to be? And you're like 90% sure it's going to be Madison Square Garden. But it might not be. It might be the Barclays Center. If you say at any point it might be something, you will be held to that forevermore. Which is why I refuse.
Just to alleviate, though, I'm going to say some stuff that I believe to be true.
Okay. It'll be cut out if it's not the one.
Paul Heyman, just in case anyone is worried, because my concern is people are worried, like, oh my god, is this real? It's real. Paul Heyman is booked with us between 2 dates in July, and all we are doing, and it's
we can confirm, we'll give an exclusive away in the podcast, we can confirm the dates.
Okay.
So let's
let's do that then.
Let's do the dates. So, Tuesday the 12th of July, Paul Heyman will be live for the Advocate of Extreme Tour with Inside the Ropes in London.
London.
On Wednesday the 13th of July, Paul Heyman will be in Manchester for the Advocate of Extreme Tour. And then finishing off, where it should always finish for Inside the Ropes, genuinely, because they're always the most rabid crowd. And it's just, it's a nice kind of, you know, also we can just like, you know, get a taxi home. We finish off in
Glasgow. We can masturbate in our own beds that night.
We can. Alone or with people, depending on how lucky we get. And that'll be on Friday the 15th of July. So that'll be and there'll be an after party. That'll be a great night. So if you can make it to Glasgow, if you're a bit of a party person, then that'll be a good one to go to. But yeah, that's the dates. I do want to just talk about Martin Wardhall, is that how you pronounce it? Anyway, he messaged us saying,
I think it's Martin Wardhawk, because he Ward is the Hawks. Ward of Hawks.
I'm sure he is. He asked, can we talk a little bit about how we came to bring Heyman over for the tour? And yeah, you're right, because like back in 2012, he was the dream. And I remember, I don't know if you remember this, Robert, but we were in Strathclyde Fusion, the radio station, the university radio station. I still think there's a great irony that we used to break into a Muslim centre and now we're bringing a Jew to Britain. But
we're not bringing him in illegally or anything like that.
No. It's all above board. But I remember we were sitting one night and we were editing the podcast or something or waiting for it to upload. And we were talking about like who would be the ideal guest to have on the podcast. And I remember saying Paul Heyman. I was like, oh, it'd be great to just like have him on the podcast one time. And earlier on this year, because a lot of people think that it's because I was at WrestleMania Media Row and I interviewed him there and that's how it came about. It was actually in the works before that. We got the opportunity to
quite some time before that.
Yeah, and we got an opportunity to, somebody approached us about it. I didn't even think it was a possibility. We were approached and that person knows who they are. We want to thank them.
Not name them?
Well, no, because then they'll get bombarded and it's
yes.
I will leave their identity a mystery. But yeah, so I want to thank them. And then it was quite easy. It was kind of, we wanted to bring him over. He wanted to do it. He's very hands-on in terms of this kind of stuff. And I think it's funny because Robert said something 4 times on this podcast that I've asked him to stop saying. We don't do Q&As.
Did I say Q&A?
Yeah.
I think I was talking about the old shows.
The old shows. But we don't do Q&As, because the thing with that concept is a Q&A is just you turn up, there's a microphone, and people ask questions, and that's it. But if you've been to an Inside the Ropes show before, you know that's not really what it's like. We like to tell a story of somebody's career. We take you through it. If there's a shy question, we try and turn it into a good question. We have video packages. We have all this different stuff going on. Sometimes we have special guests that pop up on the screen. It's like an evening with experience, and I think Paul Heyman is the gem to do that with. So.
It's an absolutely a whole different kind of experience by design, not by accident. It's what and when I say we, I don't mean you and I. I mean there are way more people than just you and I involved in bringing these shows together. And I actually, as much as I am excited about Paul Heyman, I am equally as excited about getting that band back together in July. Our touring team and doing another successful run of shows. It's a great pleasure, and I think Paul Heyman will be surely one of the most creatively satisfying things that we'll ever do. And also, the best thing about it is I don't think he will be as fussy an eater as Sting or Scott Steiner. So it's not going to be like every city you go to, the hunt for the perfect grilled chicken.
Nando's.
We can probably take Paul Heyman out for a Greg sausage roll. I think he'd be into that.
Well, the other thing is, like, all the other tours that we've done or the shows that we've done, like, to be brutally honest, 100%, like, we have been sort of nervous in certain aspects. So we had Diamond Dallas Page over in July of 2013, and we'd never done anything in a live setting with a wrestler before. So we were shitting ourselves about how it was going to go. And luckily, he was just great from start to finish. And then we had Colt Cabana, and obviously Colt's a little bit, Colt's got a very specific way he likes to do things.
Well, that's a very polite way of saying it.
of which he let Robert know later on that evening. Mm. So it was difficult to make sure with him that you're not, because with Colt Cabana, it's like you don't want to turn it into the CM Punk show where that's all the questions. Then we had Sonny, who was a fucking nightmare. Then we had Jim Cornette, who was, again, we were like, what do we expect? But he was lovely. And then with Sting, we were kind of like, what's he going to be like? He's such a big name. He was just, couldn't ask for better. Scott Steiner was just, of all the times I've ever said in my life.
Controlled chaos.
Yeah, of any time in my life I've ever called someone a mentalist, I think he is the best sense of that. Like, he is an absolute joy, because he doesn't look, sound, or act like he belongs on Earth. Like, he just doesn't fit in anywhere.
No.
Like, the thing with Paul Heyman is, and I'm saying this to somebody the other day, like, all the other tours I've been quite nervous about various aspects of it, and with this one I'm just kind of like, it's going to be hard work, we've not got a lot of time to put it together, so that's going to be really stressful, but I'm going to be honest, like, the idea that we get to sit and pick the mind of Paul Heyman for three nights is an I feel almost wrong that it's a job, because
it's a privilege. And we get to, and the best thing about it is what I'm also looking forward to, and I really mean this isn't just like me being silly or anything, but between Sting and Scott Steiner, met so many of the same people at both shows, and I'm looking forward to seeing some of you people listening now again at this Paul Heyman show. It's lovely to have the same people support you. And when people, I know when Martin asked the question, he was looking for something a little bit more specific than this. But when it comes to what types of things made this type of tour possible, really the support from everybody that came to Sting and Steiner, because you have to build a reputation as being really good at this. And the Inside the Ropes live team would not have been able to do that without the great word of mouth and positive praise that came from the hundreds of people that have been to see the shows that we do, these great, great shows, and the great, great people that come to them. So,
And the thing is, with Paul Heyman, like, people forget how much there is to talk to about him. He, like you said, he created ECW. He was a manager in WCW. He used to be a photographer at Studio 54.
He drove SmackDown to its most creatively interesting year of all time.
Yeah, he managed CM Punk during the 434 day. Like, Punk said it in one of his DVDs, if it hadn't been for Paul Heyman, being there, Punk would have probably left before.
Guys, there is a... Whenever we do these shows, there's always, like, every night we say to ourselves, well, there's one thing we have to do every night. There's one topic we can't not cover, even if it means getting the same answers every night. And please remember that Paul Heyman is the one behind the one in 21-1. Paul Heyman was at ringside...
23-1.
Well, whatever.
Oh, I love that.
The less said about the ones that happened after this week break, the better.
You just don't count it yourself. Yeah, 21-1.
21-1. Not counting those other ones. Yeah, he was at ringside when the Undertaker streak at WrestleMania was broken. He was there when it was first, when those words first left Vince McMahon's mouth and they were in the air that the streak was going to break that night. Paul Heyman was there. Don't you want to know what that was like? Don't you want to know what the few hours leading up to that was like? Paul Heyman,
and ask. Yeah, absolutely. And the
Paul
final
is the only man that will probably ever tell that story.
Yeah, there's so many stories. And here's the thing. Here's just a little kind of teaser. There's one thing that Paul Heyman has never talked about at length, and I'm going to do everything in my power to make him talk about it. What happened on that plane with Vince McMahon in December of 2006? What was that argument that led to him leaving the company for 6 years? We're going to try and get the answer to that question. But... I'm not saying this just to try and big ourselves up or make it sound bigger than it is, but to be 100% honest with you, we decided this time to register a mailing list to register for tickets, and we currently have more people on that mailing list than we have tickets. So if you want to be...
And we are in bigger venues, guys. So...
We're packed to capacity, but I do want to alleviate people, like you said, the people that have been loyal to us before... We are working tirelessly on a way that we can give people who have been at shows before a chance to buy a ticket before they go on general admission sale. So if you've been with us before, there will be a way to do it, but it will be a first-come, first-serve thing. It won't be that everybody gets to do it.
Yeah.
It'll be a case
of... It'll be like a, you know, like a, I guess a Ticketmaster pre-sale. It's not like everybody that wants in, you know, there will be a finite number of tickets.
Yeah, but rest assured, there are more VIPs for this tour than we've had for any other one. But I guarantee you, like, if you want to go VIP, it's going to sell out within a week. Like, it will be gone. I don't want to give you definite prices yet. It's definitely not going to be three figures, so don't worry about that. And then for general admission, I think general admission will be available a little bit longer, but I don't know how long. It's impossible to tell, but... Come along, get on that mailing list right now, insidetheropes.co.uk. There will be a pre-sale for loyal customers who've been with us before, and then there will be a general, we'll still have tickets in the general sale for people who've never been to one of our shows before. We'll have about an equal measure of both. So
everybody will get a chance, just do take that opportunity, because this is going to be incredible.
It is, but I guess we should talk about some wrestling.
Oh, do we have to?
Can I could I possibly have a little chat about the WWE 8?
Yes, these obviously on Monday's podcast with me and Sandra, an American lady who sometimes talk to us about NXT and various other things, we were talking about the 8 men. Well, no, they weren't all men. There was a lady. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lady, Cameron. The 8 people who were released from WWE last week. There's been a few actually since then. Although not really. They're, you know, Christian, but only from a talent in-ring contract or something. Like, he's still going to do the stuff that he does for, like, on the network and everything. But anyway, yeah, so 8 guys released. Barrett, Sandow, Hornswoggle, El Torito, Cameron.
So why don't you just give me... List them off to me and I'll just give you some quick thoughts about each one.
Oh, I don't know if I'll remember them all, though. Wade Barrett.
We all knew it was coming. Obviously, he'd asked to come out of his contract. I think he's made the right move because, like you said with Sandra on Monday, he's had more theme tunes and gimmicks than anybody in the last 6 years. And I think that him leaving will be the best thing for him. And I think if he decided to stick with wrestling, I'm sure he could go... to the indies and do quite well and maybe come back at some point. This is probably his last chance to do that, so I wish him the best.
Damien Sandow.
Damien Sandow. I feel quite bad because for What Culture, I did a podcast that had been recorded a couple of days before, but it ended up the way that it happened, that it was released about 10 minutes before Sandow got released. And in that podcast, I basically said that I didn't see him as a top guy and I don't get the hype.
Mm-hmm. Which, there's nothing wrong with that. That's like saying, I think so-and-so's a shit, and then so-and-so dies. Probably still a shit.
Wait, and Damien Sandow's not dead, let's clarify. No. I like Damien Sandow, and I loved the intellectual saviour thing, but I've said it for months, I said it at the time, the problem with the whole Mizdow thing was, as soon as he wasn't the Miz anymore, where do you go? And if you look at the history of wrestling, anyone who adopts impersonations, it is a short shelf life. There's very rarely something to get past it. Jay Lethal's maybe the exception guy.
Mm. Hulk Hogan just copied Superstar Billy Graham.
You didn't need to do that. the thing with Damien Sandow is, did he deserve more? Yeah, he did. But I actually think that, Ryback's not been released yet, but his merchandise is basically on sale and he's going to go. He's not going to be back.
He's going out with the bathwater, I think.
I think there was more potential with Ryback than there was with Damien Sandow as a top level talent. I think there was.
Any, that's controversial. There's going to be some people not happy about that.
And that's totally fine. You can not be happy. I like Damien Sandow.
People will be I'm glad he was in the hospital. Disgusting,
man. There's no need to get personal about it. But no, I feel bad for Damien Sandow in the sense of I think he was a talented guy, but I just think that the Mizdow thing was going to be really tough to bounce back from, and then the fact that he started impersonating the Macho Man was just a kiss of death, and then the fact that he then became a babyface version of the Intellectual Savior was just really not that good. But I hope that he is able to go on to the Indies and prove me wrong and become a huge star, but I think at the very least he's very popular with a lot of wrestling fans who
they'll pay to go see him if he's at your local independent wrestling show, and why not?
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. Like, he's one of these people that he's kind of like a Zack Ryder, Daniel Bryan type character. I mean, obviously they're not the same thing, but what I mean by that is that fans feel slighted by the fact that their guy wasn't pushed as hard as they wanted him to be. Yeah. And I think that will stand him in good stead for being in the Indies.
Let's go to the last truly significant one, in that there's much to say about it. The other ones after this are a bit kind of... But Alex Riley. Rage. Riley Rage.
It's funny. You
Captain Shit here.
You hit the nail on the head on Monday as well, because Alex Riley was getting the pops of his life in 2010.
Pop of his life!
But that was because of the Miz. Same with Mizdow, I guess, in certain ways. But Alex Riley, I liked what he did in NXT with Kevin Owens. I thought it was fun. But the thing with Alex Riley is that I feel like he came across in the last kind of year of his career in WWE as quite desperate. And I think it showed to the fan base. And I think that it just became the talent that he had. I mean, he looked good, but he just became very bland and very boring, and the sort of rage just didn't work for me. So I don't think he has a very bright future in wrestling, so I hope that he can find something else.
Yeah, I would agree. And then we head into the kind of, I hate to say no big loss, but we've got Cameron.
Which is, I think she's a more interesting release than people think she is, because from what I've been told, she was not meant to be released.
Oh.
The release was going to be somebody else.
Oh my god, it's not like a case of mistaken identity, is it?
Should I say who? No, I'll not say. I'll say. Apparently the release was going to be Summer Rae.
Right.
That was going to be the release. And then Cameron decided to publicly back Ryback's statements against the company.
Oh.
And that basically sealed her fate. You know, because when you're so low down the totem pole anyway, that she wasn't really getting any better in the ring. She wasn't on Total Divas anymore. Mm. So there wasn't really anything for her to do. And then her then... It's almost like... If you're... it's almost like you're in a war and you're hiding. And you're fine because nobody can see you. but then you just make a big noise.
Here's a better analogy for you. Okay. It's almost like when I'm taking a class and I shout at them all to be quiet, and then I say the next person to speak up will be sent out of the room, and secretly I'm hoping one of them does, so that I can make an example of them, and then one of them does talk, and I'm like, out! So they were just looking to sack people, and then Cameron was like, I heart Ryback, and...
As sad as it is for me to say it, but I feel like I need to say it, girl, bye.
Ouch. Cameron, get to the tap and run that burn under some cold water. El Torito and Hornswoggle, I don't mean to group them together. It's not like a racist thing or anything, but...
It's a sizes thing. I feel sorry for Torito because apparently Torito was like a really great sort of luchador mini in Mexico, and then they hired him and he didn't have any opponents to work with apart from against... Here's the thing. People who've listened to this show for a long time will know that I was not a fan of the Hornswoggle character. Not the guy, not Dylan Possel, whatever his name is, but the character. The character drove me nuts for the last sort of 5 or 6 years. He represents to me a lot of things that annoyed me in wrestling. He represents being Vince McMahon's illegitimate son. He represents the shit DX with Little People's Court. He represents the anonymous general manager. He represents all these things that antagonize me. So he's sort of just lumped in that way. However, against all my better judgment, against all of the things that I would say, I don't like this. The stuff that Torito and Hornswoggle did, like the WLC and stuff, was absolutely tremendous. And I still laugh at it with the mini Cole and the mini commentators, and it's so funny. He's not a surprising one. What are they going to do with him? They did everything with him.
And finally, Zeb Coulter.
Well, I mean, I think he should be fired based on that Mex America gimmick. It's horrendous.
It wasn't his fault, though.
No, it wasn't his fault. But he should have known. But the Jim Cornette did make an interesting comment saying now finally Dirty Dutch is out of jail. So maybe he's going to be shooting on his time there soon. I thought his partnership with Jack Swagger was actually excellent back in
2020. I said on Monday that they could have really had something there if they hadn't, you know, got really nervous about what it meant ideologically to push that gimmick as if it was real. You know, like when they started to get invites to appear on shows, they had to be like, oh, you're just actors playing a character. Let's not try and, you know, generate any heat or interest in this story. Let's just expose that it's, it's all a story, which was not really a great idea in the long run. But that's the WWE 8. What about some things that have been happening since that, though?
There was also Santino Marella, and
I
didn't even know he was still there, so...
Yeah, well, you see, I said to Sondra, I knew that he had a neck problem, and I thought he had left. I mean, I know he has appeared since then, but I thought that was just a little, you know, that they were in his town or whatever. Like, I know he spent a lot of time working on his Battle Arts Academy and getting that off the ground, and that seems to be...
Sondra had the best line when she said, I've still not forgiven him for Emma. Nor should she have.
Yeah, I mean, that's not really his fault, but it was brutal.
Anyway, what questions have we got from the lovely listeners?
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that before we look at other news. We'll do the questions. Okay, first of all, Ben, at Ben_Wrestling1, he says, hey guys, it's Ben. Hello. What are your thoughts on the WWE Network special in Hawaii? And I also think Andy Barr asked about this on the Facebook page, and my thoughts are, it's not real. They are doing a house show in Hawaii, and then there was this whole thing online about how it was going to be a network special, and it was going to be called Bash at the Beach, and they were going to do Nakamura versus Cena and Lesnar versus Owens.
And then Asuka versus Charlotte.
And Asuka versus Charlotte, and then very, very quickly, it was all poo-pooed. That's not what's happening.
Has it been poo-pooed, for sure?
I have read that Lesnar is not on that show. It's not going to be called Bash at the Beach, and it is not on the network. I read that this morning.
Interesting, because I've seen the thing. I've seen a few websites reporting it's going to be Bash at the Beach, and it's going to be on the network. But
I think someone just photoshopped a logo, and everybody went, "Well, it must be real."
It just doesn't seem to be a. It doesn't seem to be a. There's no legitimate source behind it, so I don't know who suggested it.
I honestly, I think it's just because, you know, they said, oh, we're going to have a Canada thing in March. And then, like, a little while later, they were like, oh, it's going to be a March to WrestleMania. And then after a little while, they branded it as Roadblock. And I think everyone just assumed that this is going to be the same thing. But yeah, I think, hold on, I'm going to get this because some of the reporting on it was from shady sources, but I do have just to confirm, who was it that said it? Wrestling Observer Newsletter. So here we go. This is about as solid as it'll get. Despite rumours that it may become a Bash at the Beach Network special, the June 29th show in Hawaii will just be a regular live event and not aired on the WWE Network. Rumours that Brock Lesnar is working the show are also false. Lesnar was never even asked about working the date, and WWE is not advertising him for the show. There is talk of doing another special during the Japan tour this year. Last year's Beast in the East special was the most watched non-pay-per-view show up to that point in network history. So it's not happening, everyone. Don't worry about them giving away Nakamura versus Cena, although I'll be honest, I don't even care. If it was considered, you know, blowing their load and giving it away with no build, I would still be excited about seeing it. Yeah, just give it to me. But yeah, so that's a bit of a non-starter. But yeah, so rumor killer. Next, another Ben, but this time it's at Ben_Cole90. Do you think the women's division needs another title or a Money in the Bank briefcase? Over to you, Kenneth.
I would say no to both of them at the moment. I don't think they need another title because I quite like the idea that there's feuds that aren't for the title. And the Money in the Bank briefcase, I think maybe like this time next year, if they can keep up the momentum with the women, would be good. I would like to see at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view the champion defend in a ladder match, though, like a 6-woman ladder match.
I don't want another title. I don't think they have enough characters. They've got enough talent, but they don't have enough sustainable characters. Money in the Bank briefcase, I don't mind that much. I mean, you know, only if it's pink and covered in sparkles. But
don't you dare give them ideas.
No, I don't think it's really necessary. I mean, I'll be honest, I'm kind of bored of Money in the Bank, guys, because to me now it's like you know, like, if your country has a royal family and there's, like, a prince and you're like, well, that guy's going to become king when the king, you know, no suspense. It's like that. It's like, you know, when someone wins that Money in the Bank briefcase, it's effectively a spoiler now. You know, they're just kind of saying, well, this guy's going to be champion at some point. And I know they argue it would be, but people have cashed in and lost. But not that often. And I just think that I think it's done. I think once Rollins cashed in at WrestleMania, that was the last thing, the last type of story they would be willing to tell with that briefcase that was interesting, a WrestleMania cash-in. I'd kind of like to see it go, I'll be honest. I'm kind of done with it. H-Man960, he says, well, we kind of covered this, but I'll say it anyway because I've started. Hey guys, what do you think went so wrong with Alex Riley's character? So much potential. I think the problem with Alex Riley's character was just mostly just Alex Riley. I don't think he was that good.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that he had some glimmers of hope at points, but I think by the end it was just a case of, I think a lot of these people that got released were more to do with the fact that they seem like old fare. You know, they've been around for a long time and there's just too much fresh talent. Yeah,
old news. Phil Judy Pip 1984 on Twitter said, what would be your entrance theme if you were a wrestler, but it cannot be another wrestler's theme?
Mine's would be the fight song by Marilyn Manson.
Oh my god. Attitude Era Kenny. He's definitely made himself in a WWE video game. mine would be Wannabe by the Spice Girls. No, I don't know what it would be.
I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross.
No. What would it be? Some kind of party tune? I think I would go the opposite way, like going for like Marilyn Manson or
you'd be like No Way Jose kind of guy.
I'd be like No Way Jose. I'd come out to Too Many Broken Hearts by Jason Donovan. Something unexpected. Well, the thing is, like, when you were 15 and you were making your own wrestlers in the video games, like, you wanted your entrance theme to be like another Limp Bizkit song or a Marilyn Manson song or a Linkin Park song, because those were the, you know, new metal is like standard. They all sound like wrestling themes anyway, pretty much. So I would set myself apart with a little bit of Stock Aitken and Waterman 80s pop. Maybe
you need help.
A little bit of Rick Astley.
Right, what's the next question?
I'm kidding, I don't know. Andrew Murphy. Oh god. If you were a wrestler, who would you face in your dream match?
Stephanie McMahon.
You would wrestle Stephanie McMahon. You could just slip her the horn.
Pile driver her into the mat and walk away.
If I was a wrestler, who would I face in my dream match? Akeem! I would like to wrestle Akeem. Jamie Cormack. Does the continued... this is a good one. Right. Serious.
not to belittle the other
No,
questions.
Well, the other ones were kind of fun.
This
and,
is a good one.
No, what I mean is this is a serious one, Kenny. So please adopt your journalistic hat.
Okay. Okay.
This is from Jamie Cormack. Does... What, sorry?
Big fan of Jamie.
Oh, good.
Good guy.
Do you know him?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm also a fan. Does the continued popularity of the Bullet Club in New Japan and Ring of Honor harm or help WWE's The Club?
I think it can go either way. It all depends how WWE feature The Club, because... The Bullet Club are so well presented for the most part that, apart from Jeff Jarrett, that I think if the club can be a big part of this summer in WWE, then I think that they can absolutely be just as good. I would quite like to see it morph into the Balor Club, because I don't feel like the club can be the full name forever, because it feels a bit blah.
Yeah,
but I love the idea of the team. What do you think?
I think having an association with something that's successful elsewhere can't hurt, really. My only sad thing is that they're so territorial that it can't just sort of all be Bullet Club. You know, that I know why it can't be, but that would be kind of cool if, like, you know, they acknowledge... I mean, you know, they do acknowledge New Japan. So the idea that, you know, like, an offshoot of the Bullet Club can be in WWE, but it can't... I mean, they don't have to talk about what's going on in Japan with the Bullet Club, but just this idea that this group of guys... could operate in different companies. It would be nice to think that they, you know, that they would acknowledge it. But I get why they don't. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of fine, like you, I'm kind of fine with the club. It's like, but it is too generic. It's like there's a chain of budget gyms in the UK called The Gym. And people say, like, what gym do you go to? The gym? No, but yeah, but which one? The gym? I'm in the club. Which one? It's a little bit too generic. But I think it's going to be very successful. So... especially when they fight the Shield. Whitey at Boo the Heel. he says, what's your thoughts on the wellness policy in the WWE? Is it corrupt? Does it need updated? I assume this would be a perfect time to discuss Adam Rose.
Yeah, I think for the most part, the wellness policy is good, because there's a, you know, they are working to make sure that. Because if you were a wrestling fan in like the 80s and 90s, like, you had to experience a lot of guys dying in their mid 40s and their early 40s, to a point where, like, I feel numb to it now, which is not the way it should be. So they're working to make sure that doesn't happen to this generation of guys and girls. So I can't say it's a bad thing. But, like, I think Hornswoggle was on Steve Austin's podcast talking about when he failed a drug test, that he was quite annoyed because he actually didn't fail a drug test. It was just that he couldn't provide the pee sample when they needed it. He just couldn't go. So they marked him down as a failure. So I think stuff like that needs to be revisited. And then the Adam Rose thing about having prescribed medication, all that sort of stuff needs to be more streamlined.
I just want to say, just very, very briefly on the Adam Rose situation, because obviously... me and Saunders talked a little bit about it. Since then, he's had more personal problems and has been arrested on charges of domestic abuse. And there was apparently another offence related to that in March as well, which is obviously very, very serious. And his wife has also been in court pleading for charges to be dropped so that he can just come home and look after his children. Look, violence against your spouse, violence against anybody in a situation where... you know, you are trying to hurt someone, well, unless it's wrestling, is never acceptable. You know, man on man, woman on woman, woman on man on woman. It isn't cool. But I will say that I think people need to, like, just halt now and again, or all the time, when they see these stories, and their first thing to do is not think about him and what he's going through, or his wife and what she's going through, and how we don't know much about their relationship or what's going on or what's happening to him or where he is psychologically, where she is psychologically, where their family is, and just going straight to Twitter to roast this guy, to publicly shame him for doing what he did. Now, or what he might not have done. We don't know. Like, he's been charged. Who knows what happened? We don't know. We just, you know, just stop being so quick to judge and condemn people. Now, I'm not saying he's not done a bad thing, but I just got really disheartened by, well, two things. One, people just, you know, making jokes. Like, not even funny ones. Like, funny ones are okay. But, like, just lame jokes about it, or people that are, like, saying things like, well, everyone getting upset about Adam Rose. I hope you're going to get upset next time Steve Austin is on TV because blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, yeah, you know what? They're not entirely compatible situations. They're different things. People go through different things. People in glass houses, like, I'm not saying what he did was okay. I'm not saying we should excuse it. But I don't remember when a Twitter mob became the moral authority on someone's personal problems. And it doesn't sound like he's having the best time. I'm not saying, you know, like, give him your pity. Or maybe we should pity someone in that situation that ends up doing something like that. All I'm saying is he's got some shit to deal with, and I hope that for the sake of his wife and his kid, that he can get himself sorted.
And he's pretty much lost his job.
Yeah, and I just think that I'm not excusing him if he did do what he's been accused of, but just to see so many people immediately just think, I'm going to stop whatever I'm doing in my life, pick up my phone, and pass a harsh, horrible judgment on someone whose personal circumstances and situation I know nothing about, and really, really hammer them. Now, we're all prone. I'm a hypocrite. I've most certainly. We all do it. We all judge people. We all judge other people we don't know anything about. We see someone on the bus. We think they look a bit scaffy. We're like, oh, what scaffy prick. And we don't know anything about them. And we do it all the time. But, you know, sometimes when you see just such a hive mind mob get behind something, it just makes me feel really uncomfortable. And I just think that, you know, if he did something like that, then that's wrong. But there's also, there's a reason, there's something that's happened there. And that's genuinely, all I wondered was, I just hope that someone's looking out for that family. All of them. Because it seems quite clear that everybody in that family needs someone to keep an eye out on them and look after them and make sure everybody's okay. Because you remember from the ESPN thing that he's got a young son with
special needs,
and
I was gonna bring that up actually, because
that's what we should all be focusing on, really,
because that was quite a big thing when that documentary came out. And there was a lot of support for him, and I think there was a chance there in his career actually to turn it around and give him something more to do, but they chose not to. And yeah, I'm not going to say it's okay that what he did, but also kind of like echoing your statements, I think the whole kind of like mentality that if anyone does anything wrong, we can just barrage them with our sort of moral high ground. It's just a bit nauseating now, because we don't know the circumstances. And, you know, I've read as much as I can on it. It seems from what I read that he didn't actually hit his wife, that he actually, you know, was trying to just stop her from phoning the police, and they had a sort of altercation. She didn't have any bruises. You know, she was at the court here and actually saying, please don't keep my husband in here. I want to have him back. So we don't know what's going on, but
yeah,
hopefully...
Just think for it. See if... This is very preachy, but I'll allow myself this once. But just think about this for a minute. Like, imagine like somebody is going through what is probably one of the worst days of their lives. Like, in their whole life, this is probably one of the fucking worst days someone has ever had. And in fact, this is one of the worst days. And it is right in the middle of one of the worst periods of his life, his family's life. And they are going through some shit. And maybe he picks up his phone and, I mean, he shouldn't, but let's say he flips on Twitter and he just is tagged in all of that, this stream of judgment, abuse, shit jokes, memes. I guess the party's over. I guess he was a lemon. Oh, very good. Very good. You've definitely helped the world that day with comments like that. Sometimes Twitter's a great thing, and sometimes I think it just brings out the worst in people.
One of my friends said something one time that I think is quite a liberating thing to think about. You know, sometimes like people do things to you, or people act a certain way, and you try to understand why they do it. But you try to, why is that guy doing that dick thing, or why is that girl doing that thing? And you can't quite get around your head why they would do it. And one of my friends said to me something once that I think can apply to everybody. Sometimes people are just cunts. And people... people who just go on Twitter and Facebook to just make it their mission to just lord themselves over everybody else are just cunts. So
I know. But I'm sure, anyway, I'm sure we've probably done it. James Cardi says, who should Lesnar's next opponent be?
Not Bray Wyatt.
Well, I've been saying that since January.
Who should it be? Who should it be? I would like to see it be... I would actually like to see it be AJ Styles.
I was just thinking that. Yes, me too. James at @jam97_ says, how would you armchair book Extreme Rules? Well, I'll tell you what, James, when we do this podcast next week, we're going to tell you that, right? We're going to do our predictions and probably how we think it should go, so we'll save that for next time. Matt at Geordie Walrus, apart from Roman, who on the WWE or NXT roster would benefit from a heel or a face turn? I don't know.
I think that Dolph Ziggler would benefit from a heel turn.
Interesting.
And that would make me like 5% more interested in him from the current 15% of interest.
Sure. Who would I think would benefit from?
Would you turn Stephanie face?
Come on now. You can lead a horse to water, but can't make it drink.
Are we almost done with the Twitter questions? We've got some Facebook ones to fire through.
Yeah,
quickly.
we're gonna do Facebook ones. I'm just trying to think of someone who I would turn. Who would I turn?
Okay, while you're thinking about that, we'll come back to that in a second. Carl Whiffy on Facebook asked us about Adam Rose, but we've talked about that. He also says, have you watched any more of Camp WWE? Good fucking God, gave it another try myself for episode 2, and it was just woeful. I loved the first episode, so I guess what we'll do is we'll watch the second one before Monday, and we will report back on what we think.
I wouldn't say I loved it, but I thought it was suitably...
You were cackling.
Oh, no, I was laughing at it, yeah, but I don't know if it was good. I was kind of watching it like going, this is completely insane. But
insane's good, though.
Yeah,
sometimes,
but...
Sometimes you just want to laugh.
Oh, yeah, but what I mean is it's like, you know, sometimes you go, oh, was that comedy film good? And I'm like, well, it was... It made me laugh, but, like, it's not a good film. If that makes
yeah,
sense.
I guess because
so
I went,
Camp
so,
WWE, I'm like, it's not like I don't know if I'd watch it more than once or anything. Like it's a one shot thing. Like every episode, you probably only watch once. But
yeah, because I went and saw Bad Neighbors 2 at the cinema, and I thought it was really funny. But like, I don't know if I'd say it. That was a really great comedy.
No.
Yeah, so you made a good point.
I would cut off your Skype connection, come round and punch you in the face.
Stephen Bush asks us 5 questions about the ticket sales for Heyman, so we'll
keep sending them, Stephen.
David Tosh wants to know, what would you rather have, a women's Money in the Bank match or a women's tag title introduced?
Well, we had this question.
If you had to pick one,
Money in the Bank.
Steve Decker wants to know, what's your favourite Hornswoggle moment?
His release.
Well, you can't beat that. Let's move on. Reese Mortimer says, do you think anyone else should have gone the recent Spring Clean?
I asked
this question today on Twitter as well. Reese is a good listener and stuff, so I don't think he means it in this way, but like I don't feel comfortable predicting who's going to get fired.
I feel a wee bit mean.
But I do, in saying that, I will say a couple of names. I think there's some people who could benefit from going elsewhere to rejuvenate themselves. Guys like Dolph Ziggler, or guys like, or girls like Alicia Fox and people like that. And there's some people that have been there for a long, long time and they don't really, they just don't feel fresh anymore. They don't feel cut.
Do you know who I would turn heel?
Okay.
Paige.
Yes.
She feels like...
Maybe she could be the ring announcer of a certain Mexican aristocrat.
Arriba! Yeah, maybe.
Andrew McGrillan wants to know, do you think we are in a place similar to the days of Sean Britt and Austin ascending? The roster is there, so is the talent, but are we just waiting on a spark to kick off the next big era?
I don't know. I think once you get into the sort of comparative thing, it's hard. I don't really feel it. Like, I don't know. I don't think either is comparable. People think wrestling's cyclical. I don't necessarily think it is. Once you start sort of making, you know, is it a bit like this or is it a bit like that? Is it like New Generation or is it like Attitude Era or is it like Golden WrestleMania Era? I just don't really know. All I know is that the roster is one of the best rosters they've ever assembled. With the right spark, yeah, maybe they could. But I think the problem is that they keep labelling things as eras, and now we've come to expect eras so that we start, you know, I mean, there was the Attitude Era, right? And then retroactively, I know they refer to the New Generation, but retroactively, that became the New Generation Era. Then retroactively, they called it, you know, the Hulkamania or WrestleMania Era. Then they sort of went, oh, we'll call this the Ruthless Aggression Era. And then, you know, they flirted with various things like the Reality Era and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, you label one period of time, suddenly everything needs labeled. And I'm just like, oh, you know, maybe we just need to just see what happens.
Somebody, I can't remember who it was, I want to give them credit, but I can't remember who it was. Somebody made a comparison that I think is actually quite good, of Rob almost being similar to Lucha Underground, in the sense that Lucha Underground is not really about the wrestlers, it's more about who's in charge, and who's, you know, it's about Dario Cueto and all the different authority characters, and who they're bringing into the temple, and what those people are going to do, and all that sort of stuff. And it's kind of similar in WWE, like the McMahons are the story, and the wrestlers are just part of that story. I'm not saying it's the best way to look at it.
I think it's a tenuous comparison, but
there is an argument for it. I think there's a. I'm not saying it's 100% compatible, but I thought it was just an interesting way to look at it. Who have we got next? Andy Barr had asked about the network special, but we've already talked about that. Martin Wardhoe did also want to ask, what do you think about Kurt Angle coming to ICW in November?
Pretty cool, now that you ask, Martin Wardlesbley. I'm just going to say his name wrong every time now. Every time he comments, I'm going to make him a different name. This is quite good. Hydro is a big venue. 10 days after WWE are there for Raw and SmackDown, ICW are doing the biggest show in European wrestling history, I think is what they're now sort of trying to... They're trying to find the right tagline for it. That is the one I think they've settled on just now. And they just announced that Kurt Angle's coming in. Popular opinion.
Mick Foley will be there.
And Mick Foley's going to be there as commissioner. And popular opinion suggests he will be wrestling Joe Coffey, which I think is almost certainly going to be the match. And I think that is the right call. I think if I want to pair him up with anybody, that's the one that I want to see. And it adds a nice bit of prestige. I know some people are a bit kind of like, oh, you know, an import, they don't usually do that kind of thing, but, you know, this is a big leap up. You know, the SECC sellout last year was huge, but, you know, they're trying to fill that building like three or four times over with the Hydro, so it makes sense to pull out sort of a marquee one-off sort of exhibition match like this. I think it's pretty cool, and hopefully it's a sort of a nice little tour for Kurt Angle. You know, he comes and does Rev Pro in the summer and ICW in the autumn, and then he's back to WWE next year. That'd be nice.
Scott Devine also asked about the releases, but we've talked about that. Francis Reyes wants to know, this is quite an interesting twist on the usual brand split question. If they did do a brand split, Robert,
mm-hmm.
what would be the better option? Having one overall world champion or split it into two?
One champ.
I agree. He also asks, what would you like to see in the next season of Total Divas and in Total Bellas?
I would like to see John Cena and Daniel Bryan take Johnny Laurinaitis on his stag do.
That would be great. And in the new series of Total Divas, I can't wait to see Rusev and Lana in day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fantastic. Ben Dawson has a question. I'm going to give this one to you. It's fuck, marry, kill. We can say fuck on this podcast. We don't need to say shag. Fuck, marry, kill. Ben Dawson asks, who would you go for, Robert? Hulk Hogan and his massive penis? Terry Bollea and his smaller than average penis? Or Mr. America and his undisclosed size penis?
Oh, jeez. I don't even know how to respond to this one. I guess I would fuck Terry Bollea and his smaller than average penis, and then I would secretly film it and become a millionaire. And then once I'm really... I think I would marry Hulk Hogan and his massive penis, and then I divorce him and become a millionaire twice over, and then I'll kill Mr. America and his undisclosed size penis, because that was an absolute garbage dump fire of a gimmick.
Cool. What was I going to say? Yeah, so do you want to just quickly, before we go, very quickly talk about Raw? Did you enjoy the show?
2 minutes left.
2 minutes left.
Let's talk about TV this week.
I thought it was a really good episode. I enjoyed it.
I thought it was decent. Yeah, there was some stuff worth skipping, but I don't know if I've not really been on. I wasn't on Twitter live watching or live tweeting. But I'll be able to do that again after next Friday. God, what a return! I'm really, really liking the AJ and Roman stuff. Like, I really like it. Yeah, I think it's a really well-told story.
Yeah, it's actually a perfect story for Roman, because he doesn't need to try and play the babyface. Yeah. Like, he's just playing a guy who's really pissed off at AJ, and then AJ's trying to take the moral high ground, but,
I've always said, shades of grey doesn't always work, you know, maybe enough of this chat about there's no such thing as babyfaces and heels. But this is actually, I think this is an example where it's working for me. I'm enjoying it. I'm looking forward to their match at Extreme Rules very much. I mean, I was looking forward to it the moment it was announced, to be honest, after that last one they had, that barn burner.
But one of the things I'm really enjoying in the show is the IC title picture. I'm really enjoying it. The stuff with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and Miz and Cesaro.
Do you know what it is? It just feels like someone has decided to put a bit of effort in.
Yeah. Even in the backstage segments.
I'm not asking for a perfect 3-hour TV show. I mean, I doubt even the best shows on television could produce 3 perfect hours a week, but the problem I've had with Raw for most of the life of our podcast is that it just seems
remember
like,
those first 6 months it was 2 hours long.
God, I know. What a time to get involved in reviewing Raw. I just think that it just felt so apathetic, and that it was lazy and tired, and that people just couldn't be bothered. But I feel like since WrestleMania, they've really been trying. And that's the thing. See if I feel like... starting to sound like a teacher. If I feel like you're trying, even if you're not achieving, I still appreciate the effort. And that's pretty much how I feel like, you know, they might not nail everything on a Monday night, but I kind of feel that there's intent. I feel that they are trying to make it better. And if they're trying, then, you know, I'm happy to keep watching and see if they keep going at this pace. So I think Raw's been pretty solid since WrestleMania.
Yeah,
it's ever been, but it's certainly been better than the last couple of years. I mean, I can't remember the last time they had a successive run of good to very good episodes. I don't think there's been an absolute shiter since before WrestleMania.
I liked how during the segment with Kevin Owens and Zack Ryder, like, everybody's bringing up who's beat who at points. And that's why people are getting title shots or getting the chance to get title shots. And that makes sense to me. So I enjoyed that. Other things I enjoyed in the show, I liked that Big Cass got the chance to kind of, you know, hang with Chris Jericho. I really liked the bit where Jericho started to do his best in the world bit and Cass just put his mic down. So that was a really nice touch. I liked the idea that they were building a fresh main event. I also didn't mind we didn't get it, because I thought it was just a nice... They used to do that back in the old days. You know, you would get a main event hyped on Raw, and sometimes, you know, it wouldn't happen, but then somehow it makes you want the match more, which is interesting. I thought Natalia was decent on commentary. Really enjoyed the women's match with Paige and Charlotte. I really liked the chaos of the finish with Flair and Shane and the referees and Natalia, and the fact that they were playing the story that Charlotte without her father is not as on her game. Mm-hmm. It's a good story. What else was good? The Sami Zayn Miz match was good. I want to say this on this podcast. Sami Zayn and The Miz, I thought was really entertaining, but I think The Miz deserves a lot more credit for how good he's been in the last month or so.
Yeah.
Like, he really is a great performer, and people don't give him enough credit. Like, he plays his part
One of the worst things that ever happened to him was, and people forget this because of the title run, the WWE title run that he had from November 2010 up to, what was it, like April or May 2011, mm-hmm. Like, was shit, right? It, once he won the title, it was garbage. But people forget because of how bad that was. And look, I mean, he's basically had the stink of, you know, one of the worst WrestleMania main events of all time on him for so long. And people have just gone, well, he's rubbish and he's useless. But, you know, people forget that when he won the title, right, you know, people were really getting behind him because he was one of the first guys in a long time that was new to the main event. So he had a lot of support when he won that briefcase. And the period in which he held the briefcase, you know, very, very popular online, and people were very happy when he cashed in against Randy Orton. And then, you know, he was booked so horribly. You know, he had, you know, weasel wins over Orton, and then he had a 2-month feud with Jerry Lawler. What a great way to set up, you know, your WrestleMania main event. Or no offense, like, I think there is a way that could have worked, but...
Who he couldn't beat without Michael Cole.
I know. And,
And then he was the bitch in the Rock and Cena feud.
Yeah, they just cut the balls right off the guy. So, I mean, that's not to say that for the last couple of years he hasn't been garbage. You know, he has been sometimes. But I just think that he has definitely had a somewhat of a rejuvenation with the addition of Maurice and...
Pourquoi?
I'm quite, yeah. Pourquoi? I just think that he's been a very enjoyable part of the show.
He has.
And I think anybody that says otherwise is just a bit... Mizzist.
I like that Baron Corbin got a win over Dolph Ziggler. The only thing in the show that I was very annoyed with, and maybe it's just my very, very blatant love of the man, is I hated that Sin Cara got to roll up Rusev, mainly because the referee was out of position and Rusev had to like lie there for like 20 seconds. It felt like that really frustrated me. But luckily he killed him on SmackDown, so you know, you can get a win back. But yeah, overall, I'm really enjoying the stories they're telling. I'm looking forward to Extreme Rules. Every Monday on Raw, I'm keen to watch the show, which is... Like, I don't think there has been a time since we started Inside the Ropes... Well, no, since the three-hour format started in July 2012, where they have had a month and a half of good to very good Raws.
Yeah, I'm not going to go as far as saying it's must-see. I think they've got a little...
Oh, no, it's not. It's like, not.
You can still miss a week, as I did a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember which one it was I missed now. But you know, very rarely. For me, because when I'm in school, it's like I can't stay up late on a Monday night, obviously. And then usually on the bus on like a Tuesday, it's unavoidable. You know, I'll have some tweets or I'll see some stuff. And before WrestleMania, it was very easy to just be like, oh, I don't really... feel the need to watch this. But the last couple of weeks, you know, I've been getting home and flipping on the old iPad and checking out Raw, so that's something.
Very true. So yeah, I guess that's it for this episode of ITR. I want to just get everyone to either visit insidetheropes.co.uk to register for tickets for Paul Heyman. Also, get you to go to Google and type in The Inside Network on YouTube and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're going to start having content up there very soon. I'm going to be speaking to a member of D-Generation X this weekend, and we'll have a bit of footage from that.
It's
later on
Tori, week. Isn't it?
It is. I'm going to ask her why Kane still does not call. Anything else you want to say before we go?
In all seriousness, I joked about this before, to the people who are incessantly getting in touch, you know, what's the venues, what's the dates, how much are they, when are they going on sale, re the Paul Heyman tickets, it is as simple as Kenny said. If you go to insidetheropes.co.uk, put your email in the box and hit register, as soon, the second that information is public, you will be the first person to be emailed it. So all you have to then do is just check your emails and it will be there, okay? So just chill, don't worry. The ink on the contract is there. Heyman is coming over and it is happening. Kenny revealed the dates earlier on and the venues. It was just a case of, do we go with the same venues we went with for previous tours or is this going to be more popular? The answer was resoundingly, this is going to be more popular. And...
Yeah. So remember, Tuesday, July 12th in London, Wednesday, July 13th in Manchester, and Friday, July 15th in Glasgow. Book your days off work. Look at your travel situation. I know a lot of people from Ireland were disappointed that we couldn't make Ireland part of the tour. Sadly, it's just logistically we couldn't make it work. And it is more expensive to do Belfast, and the turnout wasn't as good as other cities for Steiner. So we it's a business decision at the end of the day. But we will be back to Ireland at some point with another tour. So I think Heyman is one of the people that's worth travelling for. So even if you are a little bit kind of like, oh, you know, I wish they'd come to Ireland, you know.
Or part of Scotland or my part of England.
Here's the thing, though. While you're sort of mulling that over, if you're a normal person or in a huff, if you're a silly person, this is not the tour to sit for 2.5 weeks and think about whether you want to go. Sign up now. The tickets are going to go. You either come and be a part of it or you miss out. That's the two choices. We would love to do more cities, but we just don't have time. And the thing is, we sell this out with Paul Heyman. Who knows? Maybe we bring him back.
It's actually one of Kenny's most successful pickup lines. You can either come and be a part of it or you can just go.
And sadly, it doesn't work out for me most of the time when I say that.
I know. At least they've got each other.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting us. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/theinsidenetwork. Find us on Twitter @inside_theropes, @Bertie_ITR, @KennyMC1985. Go on the website to register for tickets. Find the YouTube channel for more content. And subscribe to us on iTunes and give us a nice 5-star review. Unless you've listened to this and you don't like the show, in which case, just don't listen to us again or review us. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, it would be very hypocritical for this show to say, if you don't like something, just don't say anything about it. But that's what we are saying.
In this instance, that is allowed.
Yes. Like, don't leave us a nasty 1-star iTunes review. Why put that negativity out into the world?
Do you know what's funny? I just want to say the last thing. Like, because sometimes people notice that like, we respond to comments on the Inside the Ropes Live Facebook page, which I should also pimp out, actually, for more information on the tour, facebook.com/ITR Live. There was a couple of people who just wrote, like, letdown about Paul Heyman. And the thing about that is, what I don't understand is, I get that some people are going to be like, do you know what, Paul Heyman's not for me, I liked a different era of wrestling, or whatever your reason is, right? Totally.
He hasn't even won a world championship.
However, that would be like me walking into a shop, right? So say I walk into, you know, a supermarket, Asda, Walmart, wherever you are. And I go up.
Or for our American friends, Walmart.
I go up and I go to the drinks aisle. And so as an example, I don't like the taste of cherry Coke, right? I don't like it. I wouldn't go into a shop and pick up the cherry Coke and walk up to the till and put it down and go, not for me, and walk away. Because I'm not an idiot.
You've let me down by stalking this. Yeah. And the funny thing is, to be fair, the people that were saying I let down, it was mostly the same, like two or three people.
It was literally two or three people. It's not going to make a difference, but it's funny. I just don't understand that mindset. I can't.
Let down.
In my head.
Let down.
Get my head around it, but
maybe,
you know,
maybe it's one of those things where they just repeat what they've been told so many times by their parents.
Fuck, bit harsh, but okay. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you, Paul Heyman, and we'll be back next. We'll be back on Monday with a Raw preview and all that sort of stuff.
Kenny, ask me what I thought of this podcast.
What did you think of this podcast?
Let down. Not really. It was a good one. I hope everyone liked it.
It was alright.
Fine.
You would have bet up your own arse, to be honest.
Was that?
No.
God's sake. I'm a very sensitive soul. Okay.
Coming to a school near you.
Oh, I shouldn't know for sure. Okay, yeah, thanks everybody for tuning in, for listening, for downloading, for giving us your time. You know, we're just two guys standing here making podcasts.
Why can we never just say goodbye? We end up saying goodbye
because
for
Kenny, there's never been a right time to say goodbye.
So from Jason Donovan, I'm Kenny McIntosh. We'll see you next week.
Broken hearts in the world. Do, 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 do.